Unit 5, Cost Analysis, page 139. The Unit 5 has been divided into two parts, Part A, Cost and Revenue, and Part B, Market Structure, for better clarity and understanding. Structure, Unit 5, Part A, Cost and Revenue. 1. 5.1 is objective, 5.2 is introduction and cost concepts, 5.3 is total, marginal and average cost, 5.4 cost behavior on short run and long run, 5.5 meaning and classification of revenue, 5.6 behavior of TR, AR and MR curves under perfect and imperfect competitions. Unit 5, Part B, Market Structure. 5.7 Introduction, 5.8 Market, Meaning and Classification, 5.9 Meaning and Features of Perfect Competition, 5.10 Price Output Determination under Perfect Competition, 5.11 Importance of Time Element in Determination of Price, 5.12 Market Price and Normal Price, Meaning and Difference, 5.13 Introduction, Definition and Features of Monopoly, 5.14 Price and Output Determination under Monopoly, 5.15 Price Discrimination under Monopoly, 5.16 Meaning and Features of Monopolistic Competition, 5.17 Price and Output Determination under Monopolistic Competition, 5.18 Meaning and Features of Logopoly, 5.19 Price and Output Determination under Oligopoly, 5.20 Keywords, 5.21 Important Points to be Remembered, 5.22 Suggested Readings, and 5.23 Check Your Progress. Page 140, Chapter 5, Cost Analysis, Part A, 5.1 Objectives. After going through this unit, you will be able to 1. Understand the meaning of cost and its behavior in short and long run. 2. Recognize the different concepts of cost. 3. Understand the meaning and relation between average revenue and marginal revenue. 4. Understand the market structure under perfect and imperfect competition. 5. Know the short run and the long run equilibrium of the firm. 6. Get the idea of price output determination under different market structure. 7. Answer how and why the monopoly charges different prices to different customers. 8. Know the importance of selling cost. 5.2. Introduction and cost concepts. In this unit, we will try to discuss the meaning, nature, and types of cost and revenue and its implications in price output determinations. We may begin our analysis with consideration of cost concepts. Cost analysis has a key role to play in business economics, as every business decision virtually involves a comparison between cost and returns. Cost calculations are indispensable for management decisions. Cost is the expense incurred in producing a commodity. The volume of output that a firm produces depends upon the cost of the factors. It is the cost of production together with the price which guides the firm whether to produce or not and how much to produce. In short, cost of production refers to total money expenses incurred to produce a particular quantity of output by the producer. Hence, knowledge of various concepts of costs, cost-output relationship, etc., occupies a prominent place in cost analysis. Classification of cost. There are different viewpoints on the cost concepts. We shall review some of them as follows. Page 141. 1. Real cost. The term real cost of production refers to the physical quantities of various factors used in producing a commodity. It refers to the exertion of labor, sacrifice involved in the abstinence from present consumption by the savers to supply capital, and social effects of pollution, congestion, and environmental distortions. Real cost thus signifies the aggregate of real productivity resources absorbed in the production of a commodity or service. 2. Opportunity cost or alternative cost. Since the real production cost cannot be measured in an absolute sense, the concept of opportunity cost is evolved to measure it in an objective sense. The concept of opportunity cost is based on the scarcity and versatile characteristics of productive resources. Thus, The opportunity cost is measured in terms of the foregone benefits from the next best alternative use of a given resource. 3. Explicit cost and implicit costs. Explicit costs are direct contractual monetary payments incurred through market transactions. The following items of a firm's expenditure are explicit money costs. A. Cost of raw materials. B. Wages and salaries. 3. Power charges. D. Rent of business or factory premises. E. Interest payments on capital invested. F. Insurance premiums. G. Tax like property tax, duties, license fees, etc. H. Miscellaneous businesses like marketing and advertising expenses. From an economist's point of view, apart from the explicit cost, there are implicit money costs. Implicit costs are the opportunity cost of the use of factors which a firm does not buy or hire but already owns. Implicit costs are not directly incurred by the firm through market transactions, but nevertheless are to be reckoned in the measurement of total money cost of production. Implicit money costs are as follows. A. Wages of labor rendered by the entrepreneur himself. B. Interest on capital supplied by him. C. Rent of land and premises belonging to the entrepreneur himself and used in his production. D. Normal returns of entrepreneur, a compensation needed for his management and organizational activity. 4. Fixed and variable costs. Fixed costs are the amounts spent by the firm on fixed inputs in the short run. Fixed costs are thus those costs which remain constant irrespective of the level of output. These costs remain unchanged even if the output of the firm is nil. Fixed costs usually include A. Payment of rent for building. B. Interest paid on capital. C. Insurance premiums. D. Depreciation and maintenance allowances. E. Administrative expenses, salaries of managerial and office staff, etc. F. Property and business taxes, license fees, etc. Page 142. Variable costs are those costs which rise when output expands and fall when output contracts. When output is nil, they are reduced to zero. The short-run variable costs include A. Prices of raw materials, B. Wages of labor, C. Fuel and power charges, D. Excise duties, sale tax, and E. Transport expenditure, etc. 5.3. Total, marginal, and average cost. 5. Total cost, TC. Total cost is the aggregate of expenditure incurred by the firm in producing a given level of output. Total cost is measured in relation to the production function by multiplying factor prices with their quantities. For measuring the total cost of a given level of output, thus, we have to aggregate the product of factor quantities multiplied by the respective prices. Conceptually, total cost includes all kinds of money cost, explicit as well as implicit. Symbolically, TC is equal to TFC plus TVC. 6. Total fixed cost, TFC. Total fixed cost corresponds to the fixed outputs in the short-run production function. It is obtained by summing up the product of quantities of the fixed products multiplied by the respective unit prices. TFC remains the same at all levels of output in the short run. Symbolically, TFC is equal to TC minus TVC or AFC into Q. 7. Total variable cost, TVC. Corresponding to variable inputs in the short-run production is a total variable cost. It is obtained by summing up the product of quantities of input multiplied by the prices. Symbolically, TVC is equal to TC minus TFC or AVC into Q or addition of MC. 8. Average fixed cost, AFC. The total fixed cost remains constant throughout whatever the level of output, but the average fixed cost diminishes with every increase in output. AFC is obtained by dividing TFC by total units of output. Symbolically, AFC is equal to AC minus ABC or TFC divided by Q. Page 143. 9. Average variable cost AVC. The average variable cost is variable cost per unit of output. AVC can be computed by dividing the TVC by total units of output. Symbolically, AVC is equal to AC minus AFC or TVC divided by Q. 10. Average total cost ATC. Average total cost or average cost is a unit cost since it is the cost per unit of output produced. AC is the sum of AFC and AVC. It is obtained by dividing the total cost by total output produced. Symbolically, AC is equal to AFC plus AVC or AC is equal to TC divided by Q. 11. Marginal cost MC. Marginal cost may be defined as the net addition to the cost, net addition to the total cost as one more unit of output is produced. In other words, it implies additional cost incurred to produce an additional unit. It is obtained by calculating the change in total cost as a result of a change in the total output. Symbolically, MC by delta TQ is equal to delta TC, where delta TC is equal to change in total cost, delta TQ change in output, or MC is equal to TCN minus TCN minus 1, where TCN is the total cost incurred by producing the nth unit and TCN1 is the TC incurred while producing previous units. The difference between the two is MC. 5.4. Cost behavior in short run and long run. Short run cost curves. In short run cost curves may be looked at three distinct ways. 1. Total cost of production. 2. Average cost, which is the total cost divided by the number of units produced. 3. Marginal cost, which is the additional made to the total cost as a result of producing an extra unit of output. Total cost curves TFC and TVC. The total cost of producing any given level of output is conveniently divided into two parts, total fixed cost TFC and total variable cost TVC. Total fixed cost corresponds to the fixed inputs in the short-run production function. TFC remains the same at all levels of output in the short run. The following figures indicates that TFC curve is horizontal and parallel to OX axis, showing that it's constant regardless of output per unit of time. Page 144. TFC starts from a point of Y axis, indicating that the total fixed cost will be incurred even if the output is zero, whereas TVC varies with output. TVC curve slopes upwards from left to right. TVC curve rises as output is expanded. When output is zero, TVC also will be zero. Below is a diagram to illustrate the same. Average and marginal cost curves. In the short run, AC curve tends to be U-shaped. The combined influence of AFC and AVC curves will shape the nature of AC curve. It has three phases. 1. Decreasing phase, 2. Minimum phase, and 3. Increasing phase. 1. Decreasing phase. The average fixed cost begins to fall with an increase in output, while average variable cost comes down and rises. As long as the falling effect of AFC is much more than the rising effect of AVC, the AC tends to fall. At this stage, increasing returns and economics of sales operate and complete utilization of resources forces the AC to fall. 2. Minimum phase. When the firm produces the optimum output, AC will become minimum. Again, at this point, where the rise in AVC is exactly counterbalance the fall in AFC, the balancing effect causes AC to remain constant. 3. Increasing phase. When the rise in the average variable cost is more than the drop in AFC, then the AC shows a rise. When output is expanded beyond the optimum level of output, diminishing returns sets in and diseconomics of scale starts operating. At this stage, the indivisible factors are used in wrong proportions. Thus, AC starts rising in the third stage. Marginal cost is also U-shaped. The marginal cost curve has a definite and well-defined relationship with the average total cost curve. If the average cost curve is falling, then the marginal cost curve MC must be below the AC curve, but the MC curve may be rising or falling. In case the average cost curve is rising, then the marginal cost curve must be above the AC curve, but it is immaterial whether the MC curve is rising or falling. At point P, both the MC curve and the AC curve cut each other. It's at this point that the marginal cost and average cost becomes equal. Page 145. We cannot definitely say about the marginal cost as to whether it will be rising or falling when the average cost is rising or falling. Below is a diagram which illustrates it. The relationship between marginal cost and average cost. 1. When AC is minimum, the MC is equal to AC. Thus, MC curve must intersect at the minimum point of AC curve. 2. When AC is falling, MC is also falling initially, but after a point may start rising, but AC continues to fall. However, AC is greater than MC. Hence, ultimately at a point, both costs will be equal. Thus, when MC and AC are falling, MC curve lies below the AC curve. 3. Once MC is equal to AC, then as the output increases, AC will start rising and MC continues to rise further, but now MC will be greater than AC. Therefore, when both the costs are rising, MC curve will always lie above the AC curve. A hypothetical schedule of the firm has been represented in the following table. The first, it is divided into 8 columns. The first is output units is 0, TFC is 300, TVC is nil, TC is 300, AFC is nil, AVC is nil, AC is nil, MC is nil. When the output unit is 1, TFC is 300, TVC is 100, TC is 400, AFC is 300, AVC is 100, AC is 400, MC is 100. When the output is 2, TFC is 300, TVC is 180, TC is 480, AFC is 150, AVC is 90, AC is 240, and MC is 80. When the output is, the units are 3, TFC is 300, TVC is 240, TC is 540, AFC is 100, AVC is 80, AC is 180, and MC is 60. When the total output units are 4, TFC is 300, TVC is 300, TC is 600, AFC is 75, AVC is 75, AC is 150, and MC is 60. When the output unit is 5, TFC is 300, TVC is 450, TC is 750, AFC is 60, AVC is 90, AC is 150, MC is also 150. When the output units are 6, TFC is 300, TVC is 660, TC is 900, AFC is 50, AVC is 110, AC is 160, and MC is 210. Page 146. Long run cost curves. The long run period is long enough to enable a firm to vary all its factor inputs. In the long run, a firm is not tied to a particular plant capacity. It can move from one plant capacity to another whenever it is obliged to do so in the light of changes in demand for its products. The firm can expand its plant in order to meet the long-term increase in demand or reduce plant capacity if there is a drop in demand. In the long run, there are only the variable costs or direct costs as total cost. There is no dichotomy of total cost into fixed and variable cost as we see in the short-run analysis. In the long run, when we examine the unit cost of a firm, we come across only the average marginal cost. Hence, we have only to study the shape and relationship of the long-run average cost curve and the long-run marginal cost curve. In reality, thus, the long run consists of perspective planning for the expansion of the firm. Hence, it involves various short-run adjustments visualized over a period of time. Important features of long-run AC curves. 1. Tangent curve. Different SAC curves represent different operational capacities of different plants in the short run. LAC curve is locus of all these points of tangency. Thus, LAC curve is margential to various SAC curves. 2. Envelope curve. It is also known as envelope curve because it is the envelope of a group of SAC curves appropriate to different levels of output. 3. Flatter U-shaped or dish-shaped curve. It is also a U-shaped cost curve, but it is less pronounced and much flatter in nature. LAC gradually falls and rises on account of the operation of economics and diseconomics of sale. 4. Planning curve. The LAC curve is described as a long-run instrument which indicates the least cost combination of resource inputs. This helps in producing optimum level of output at the minimum LAC. 5. Minimum point of LAC curve should be always lower than the minimum point of SAC curve. This is because LAC can never be higher than SAC or SAC can never be lower than LAC. The LAC curve will touch the optimum plant SAC curve at this minimum point. Page 147. Here we got a diagram in which SAC1, SAC2, SAC3 are short-run average cost curves depicting three different plant scale of production. In the diagram, OM2 is regarded as the optimum scale of output as it has the least per unit cost in the SAC2. If the firm wants to increase output up to M3, the cost will be higher than the cost of SAC2. For output larger than OM3, the firm will employ plant size corresponding to the short-run average cost curve, SAC2. If the tangents of all the short-run cost curves are added, a long-run average cost is derived. This will be the LAC. It is also U-shaped and it will be flatter than the short-run average cost curves. The long-run marginal cost curve, LMC, can be derived from the short marginal cost curve, that is, from SMCs. To derive LMC, the tangency points between SACs, the tangency points between SACs and LAC should be considered because in the long run production, planning these points determine the output levels of the different levels of production. In the diagram, output is measured along the x-axis and cost is measured along the y-axis. When the firm produces OM1, level of output, LMC is equal to MID. If the output increases to OM2, LMC decreases to BM2. It starts rising if the output is produced beyond OM2. Similarly, CM3 measures LMC at output OM3. The LMC curve is also flatter U-shaped like LAC. It shows the trends in the marginal cost in response to the changes in the scale of production. The shape of LMC curve is also flatter U-shaped, indicating the initially as output expands in the long run with increasing scale of production. Page 148. The relationship between LMC and LAC. 1. When LAC decreases, LMC also decreases. 2. After a certain level of output, LMC tends to rise, though LAC continues to fall. 3. When LAC is minimum, LMC intersect LAC and hence LAC is equal to LMC. 4. After the intersection, both slope upwards and LMC becomes greater than LAC. This intersection LMC is less than LAC. 5.5. Meaning and classification of revenue. After making a detailed study of various concepts of cost, now it is necessary to have a clear idea about various concepts of revenue. Revenue means income. Revenue refers to the monetary value of the output sold in the market. In the words Dooley, the revenue for firm is its sale receipts or income. It depends on the market price. The amount of money which the firm receives by the sale of its output in the market is known as its revenue. Cost and revenue concepts helps us to understand the various methods of price output determination and pricing policies under both perfect and imperfect markets. Let us study these concepts in some detail. 1. total revenue, that is TR. Total revenue refers to the total amount of money that the firm receives from the sale of its products, that is, gross revenue. In other words, it is the total sale receipts of the output produced over a given period of time. We may say revenue as a function of the total quantity sold at a given price as below. TR is calculated by multiplying the quantity sold by its price. TR is equal to PXQ. For example, a firm sells 5,000 units of a commodity at a rate of Rs. 5 per unit. Then the TR would be TR is equal to P into Q, that is equal to 5 into 5,000, which is equal to 25,000. 2. Average revenue AR. AR can be obtained by dividing the TR by the number of units sold. AR is equal to TR divided by Q. AR is the revenue per unit of commodity sold. Hence, AR is the price of commodity. AR and price is equal to one another when different units of a commodity are sold at the same price in the market. 3. Marginal revenue or MR. It refers to the additional revenue earned by selling additional unit of output by the seller. In other words, it may be defined the addition made to the total revenue of the seller by selling one more unit of output. In order to find out the MR, we have to take the difference between TR and total sales. The formula to know MR is as follows. MR is equal to TR by Q, where delta TR represents change in TR and delta Q indicates change in total quantity sold. Also, MR is equal to TRN minus TRN minus 1. Page 149. Relationship between average revenue and the marginal revenue curves. Relationship between TR, AR and MR. 1. MR falls as more units are sold. 2. TR increases as more units are sold but a diminishing rate. 3. TR is the highest when MR is 0. 4. TR falls when MR becomes negative. And 5. AR and MR both falls below fall in MR is greater than AR. That is, MR falls more steeply than AR. Below is a table which illustrates the same. When the number of units sold is 1, TR is 10, AR or the price is 10, MR is 10. When the number of units sold is 2, TR is 18, AR or the price is 9 and MR is 8. When the number of units sold is 3, TR is 24, AR is 8, MR is 6. When the number of units sold is 4, TR is 28, AR is 7, MR is 4. When units sold is 5, TR is 30, AR is 6, MR is 2. When the units sold is 6, TR is 30, AR of the price is 5 and the MR is 0. And when the number of units sold is 7, TR is 28, AR of the price is 4 and MR is minus 2. 5.6 Behavior of TR, AR and MR curves under perfect and imperfect competitions. Under perfect competition, an individual firm by its own action cannot influence the market price. The market price is determined by the interaction between demand and supply forces. A firm can sell any amount of goods at existing prices. Hence, the TR of the firm would increase proportionately with the output offered for sale. When the total revenue increases in direct proportion to the sale of output, the AR would remain constant. Since the market price of it is constant without any variation due to changes in the units sold by the individual firm, the extra output would fetch the proportionate revenue. Hence, MR and AR will be equal to each other and remain constant. This will be equal to prices. Page 150. Here's a diagram that shows that under perfect competition, the AR curve will be a horizontal straight line and parallel to OX axis. This is because a firm has to sell its product at the constant existing market price. This MR curve will also coincide with the AR curve. This is because additional units are sold at the same constant price in the market. AR is equal to MR is equal to the price. Behavior of AR and MR curves under imperfect competition. Under all forms of imperfect competition, the relation between TR, AR and MR is different. This can be understood with the help of the following imaginary revenue schedule. From the table, it is clear that 1. In order to increase the sales, a firm is reducing its price, hence AR falls. 2. As a result of fall in price, TR increases, but at a diminishing rate. 3. TR will be higher when MR is 0. 4. TR falls when MR becomes negative. 5. AR and MR both declines, but fall in MR will be greater than the fall in AR. Page 151. Here's a diagram which shows that under imperfect competition, the AR curve of an individual firm slopes downwards from left to right. This is because a firm can sell larger quantities only when it reduces the price. Hence, AR curve has a negative slope. The MR curve is similar to that of the AR curve, but MR is less than AR. AR and MR curves are different. Generally, MR curve lives below the AR curve. Unit 5, Part B, Market Structure. 5.7, Introduction. After understanding of various aspects of cost and revenue, it is necessary to know the different types of market so as to understand its features, price output determinations, and different aspects of market. The market has emerged as one of the most important economic institutions in the global economy. The market is the lifeline of economic transaction between the buyers and sellers in almost all spheres of economic life. Our purpose in this unit is to study the main elements of market. 5.8, Market, Meaning and Classifications. Ordinarily, the term market refers to a particular place where goods are purchased and sold. But in economics, market is used in a wide perspective. In economics, the term market does not mean a particular place, but the whole area where the buyers and sellers of a product are spread. The transactions for commodities may be also through letters, telegrams, telephones, internet, etc. Thus, market in economics does not refer to a particular marketplace, but the entire region in which goods are bought and sold. According to Professor R. Hapman, the term market refers not necessarily to a place, but always to commodity and the buyers and sellers who are in direct competition with one another. Page 152. Professor Cornell's definition is wide and appropriate, in which all the features of a market are found. On the basis of different criteria, market can be categorized into various types. 1. On the basis of geography or area, we got the local market, regional market, national market, and international market. 2. On the basis of period, we have the very short period market, long period market, and very long period market. 3. On the basis of working, we have the mixed market and the specific market. 4. On the basis of nature of competition, we have the perfect competition market and the imperfect competition market. The type of market depends on the degree of competition existing in the market. Generally, two types of market prevail, that is perfect market and imperfect market. Among the different market situations, perfect competition and monopoly form the two extremes. In between these two market situations, we come across a number of market situations which may be collectively termed as imperfect markets. Page 153. In these imperfect markets, we notice the elements of competition as well as monopoly. They are duopoly, two sellers, and oligopoly, few sellers, and monopolistic competition, many sellers. The market situation vary in the structure. Different market structures affect the behavior of buyers and sellers and firms. Further, different prices and trade volumes are influenced by different types of market and price output determination under market conditions. 5.9, Meaning and Features of Perfect Competition. Perfect competition is best defined with reference to its features that there is existence of large number of buyers and sellers engaged in buying and selling homogeneous products at uniform prices. Marshall gives importance to uniform price when he says, the more nearly perfect a market is, the stronger is the tendency for the same price to be paid for the same thing at the same time in all parts of the market. In perfect competition, there is difference between firm and industry, while firm is a single producing unit and industry is a group of firms. Features of perfect competition. 1. Existence of very large numbers of buyers and sellers. A perfectly competitive market will have large number of sellers and buyers. Hence, changes in supply made by a particular firm will not affect the total output and price. Similarly, no one particular buyer can influence the price of commodity because the quantities purchased by him is a small fraction of the total quantity. 2. Homogeneous products. Different firms constituting the industry produce homogeneous goods. They are identical in character. Hence, no firm can raise its price above the general level. 3. Free entry and exit of a firm. There is absolute freedom to firms to get in or get out of the industry. If the industry is making profits, new firms are attracted into the industry. Conversely, firms will quit the industry if there are losses. This results in the realization of normal profits by all firms in the long run. 4. Existence of single price. Each unit bought and sold in the market commands the same price since products are homogeneous. 5. Perfect knowledge of the market. All the sellers and buyers will have the perfect knowledge of the market. Sellers cannot influence buyers and buyers cannot influence the sellers. 6. Perfect mobility of factors of production. Factors of production are free to move into any use or occupation in order to earn higher rewards. Page 154. Similarly, they are also free to come out of the occupation or industry if they feel that they are under remunerated. 7. Full and unrestricted competition. Perfectly competitive market is free from all sorts of monopoly, oligopoly conditions. 8. Absence of transport cost. All firms will have equal access to the market. Market price charged by the sellers should not vary because of differences in the cost of transportation. 9. Absence of artificial government controls. The government should not interfere in matters pertaining to supply and price. 10. The market price is flexible over a period of time. Market price changes only because of changes in either demand or supply forces or both. 11. Normal profit. As the market price is equal to the cost of production, the firm can earn only normal profits under perfect competitions. 5.10. Price output determination under perfect competition. It is very interesting to study the price output model under perfect competition. Under perfectly competitive market, in the case of the industry, market price of product is determined by the interaction of supply and demand. The market price is only by the market forces, that is, demand and supply determines the equilibrium price of the product. We come across this peculiar feature under perfect competition alone. Alfred Marshall compared supply and demand to the two blades of a scissors. Just as both the blades work together to cut a piece of cloth, both supply and demand interact with each other to determine the market price at which exchange takes place. In the process of price determination, supply is not more important than demand, or demand is not more important than supply. Both forces play an equally important role. We can explain how prices determine the market by the interaction of demand and supply with the help of the following schedule. Page 155. Here we got a schedule which explains how prices determine the market by the interaction of demand and supply. When the price in rupees is 10, demand in units is 1000, supply in units is 9000, the state of market is surplus where S is greater than D and the pressure on price is downward. When the price in rupees is 8, demand in units is 3000, supply in units is 7000 and the state of market is surplus where S is greater than D and the pressure on price is downward. When price in rupees is 6, demand in units is 5000, supply in units is 5000, state of market is equilibrium where S is equal to D and the pressure on price is neutral. When the price in rupees is 4, demand in units is 7000, supply in units is 3000, state of the market is shortage, where D is greater than S, and the present price is upward. When price in rupees is 2, demand in units is 9,000, supply in units is 1,000, state of market is shortage, where D is greater than S, and present price is upward. From the table here, it is clear that equilibrium price is determined at rupees 6, where quantity demanded is exactly equal to quantity supplied, that is 5,000 units. Here we got a diagrammatic representation in which it states the demand and supply. In each case of industry, interaction of supply and demand will determine the equilibrium market price. In the diagram, E indicates equilibrium, O R equilibrium price, and O Q is equilibrium output. Page 156. The price at which demand and supply equal is known as equilibrium price. The quantity bought and sold at the equilibrium price is known as equilibrium output. In the diagram, equilibrium price is determined at point E, at which both demand and supply are equal. The upper limit to the price of a product service should not exceed what the market will bear. The lower limit is to the prices determined by production cost. In the long run, the price should not fall below production cost. With reference to industry, point E can be regarded as a position of stable equilibrium. Even if there are changes in price, there will be automatic adjustments in supply and demand, restoring the original equilibrium position. To prove this, when the price rises from OR to OR1, there will be excess supply over demand. Excess supply of goods pushed down the price from OR1 to OR, the original price. Similarly, when price falls from OR1 to OR2, quantity demanded exceeds quantity supplied. Excess demand in its turn pushes up the price from OR2 to OR, the original price. Thus, equality between demand and supply determines the market price. Under perfect competition, a firm will not have any independence to fix the price of its own product. The industry is the price maker, and the firm is a price taker or price acceptor and quantity adjuster. As a part of the industry, it has to simply charge the price which is determined by the industry. If it charges more price, it will lose its scales, and if it charges less price, it will incur losses. In case of the firm, the price line which is equal to AR and MR will be horizontal and parallel to OX axis. This is because same price has to be charged by the firm for all the units supplied irrespective of changes in demand. Hence, equilibrium or market price is equal to AR is equal to MR. 5.11 Importance of time element in determination of price. In economics, time is regarded as a very important input. Professor Marshall has introduced the concept of time element in the theory of value to show the relative influence extended by demand and supply. Value or price of a price varies with the period of time under consideration. He made price analysis more realistic and practical by bringing time in the determination of price. He distinguished 4 time periods while considering price fixation. They are 1. A very short period, equilibrium price known as short-run market price. 2. A short period, equilibrium price known as short-run normal price. 3. A long period price, equilibrium price known as long-run normal price. 4. A price prevailing during a secular period or during a very long period. Page 157. Price output determination under market price. Market price is a price which prevails during a very short period, say a day, a week, or a month. We may even say that the market price is a day-to-day price. During such a very short period, the supply is practically fixed, and it is a demand that exerts a major influence on the price. Whatever quantity of goods that has come to the market on that day or during that week must be sold for whatever price it may be. On the contrary, if the demand is less than the supply, the prices fall and the producer may have to incur a loss. Especially when the goods are perishable like meat, eggs, fruits, etc., the prices fall even below the seller's reserve price. The following is a diagram showing the market price for perishable goods. Market price of perishable goods. In the diagram, The market price of fruits is to be determined over a very short period. The supply of fruits is fixed, which is represented by SM supply curve. D11, D11 is the demand curve which cuts SM supply curve at P1. This is the equilibrium market price during a very short period, which is arrived by the equilibrium of demand and supply. The equilibrium price is OP1, at which OM commodities are demanded. But suddenly, if demand rises to D1, D1, then the market price will rise to OP2, at which the same quantity of goods, OM, are supplied. When the demand comes down to D111 and D111, then the market price will come down to OP3. But the supply remains unchanged at SM. Page 158. If the goods are durable in nature, like wheat, car, etc., then the supply curve will not have a straight line. It will be curved in the beginning and it will take a straight line later, as shown in the diagram below. If the goods are durable, the seller will fix a reserve price below which he does not sell if the prices fall still further. If the price is very high, he sells the whole stock, but if the price falls too low, he will fix his reserve price below which he does not sell his goods at all. Here's a diagram in which SS is the supply curve for the durable goods. OQ is the total supply of goods. Up to OP1, the supply increases with an increase in the price. At OS, no goods are sold as the whole stock is kept back by the seller since the price falls too low. At OP price, the whole stock is offered for sale since the price is very high. Above OP, quantity supplied remains the same whatever may be the price. DD is the demand curve. OP is the equilibrium price at which demand and supply became equal. At this price, OM is sold and MQ is held back. If the demand increases to D1, D1, the price rises to OP1, and at this price, the whole stock of goods OQ is sold off. If the demand rises to more than D1, D1, then at OP1, price OM1 goods are sold and M1Q goods are held back from the market. So, in the very short period, the market price is mainly fixed by the demand. The cost of production considerations of the producer have absolutely no influence on the determination of market prices. Page 159. Price output determination in the short period. Below is a diagram which illustrates it. Short period refers to the period of a month or two where some factor inputs remain fixed and only a few factor inputs are variable. During the short period, the firm can adjust its output to changes in demand with the existing plants and machinery. If demand increases, the firm will increase its output with intensive utilization of plants and machinery, but the time is insufficient to increase the size of the plant. If demand declines, the firm will adjust output with less intensive utilization of its equipments. MPS is equal to market period supply curve. OQ is equal to original supply. OR is equal to original price. OR1 is equal to price in the market when demand rises. OR2 is equal to new price in the short run, which is lower than market period and higher than original price. OQ1 is equal to new supply in the short period. SR1 is equal to short period supply curve. In contrast to market period, during short period, the firm can make minimum adjustments in supply. With existing plant and machinery, this is depicted by SRS and the increase in demand to D^1 pushes the prime to R2 instead of R1 as in the market period. Since the supply can be increased to some extent, the short-run price is little lower than the market price and this can be considered as subnormal price. Page 160. Price output determination in the long run. Long period may be defined as a period sufficiently long enough to enable the industry to adjust its production and supply completely to or change in demand. The time is adequate to permit new firms to enter into the industry or existing firms to leave the industry. Total adjustments of supply and demand are possible as all factors of production are variable in long run. The long run normal price is a result of long run demand and supply of the industry. In the long run, if the industry expands production, the external economics and diseconomics cancel each other, and hence the industry does not experience either increasing or decreasing costs, or the industry may be experiencing external economics or diseconomics. In both the cases, the long-run supply curve will be a horizontal straight line as shown in the following figure. There is a diagram below which illustrates the rate. The price process under the constant cost industry in the long run is explained with the above diagram. DD is the demand curve and it cuts MS market supply curve at OP. So, OP is the market price. If the supply remains same and if the demand rises sharply, the market price will rise to OP1. But when the industry expands supply with the existing plant and machinery, the market price will come down to P2. In the long run, under constant cost, the firm expands production to meet the increased demand. Therefore, long run price will come down to OP and settles down there at which OM to the power of 2 output will be produced. Hence, the long run supply curves LRS is cut by the new demand curve D to the power of 1, D to the power of 1 at E to the power of 1. Such a long run normal price will be equal to both the long run minimum average cost and long run marginal costs. Page 161. All firms in the industry will charge the same price OP in the long run and all the firms will make only normal profits. 5.12 Market price and normal price, meaning and difference. The market price is the price prevailing at a particular point of time and the normal price is that which exists over the long period after all the demand and supply adjustments have been made. Various points of difference may be outlined. 1. Market price is for a particular time and is a result of market demand and supply. But normal price is for a period of time and the result of long period demand and long period supply. 2. Both demand and supply determine price. While market price is influenced more by demand, the normal price is determined more by supply. 3. Market price is a temporary price, while normal price is a permanent price. 4. Market price may change continuously, but the normal price is more stable since it depends on general factors that do not change so often. 5. The market price is a real price, whereas a normal price is an imaginary price. 6. All commodities, both reproducible and non-reproducible, have a market price, but only reproducible some commodities have a normal price. 5.13 Introduction, Definition, and Features of Monopoly. Monopoly is an extreme shade of imperfect competition. The word monopoly is made up of two syllables, mono means single and poly means to sell. Thus, monopoly means existence of a single seller in the market. Monopoly is that market form in which a single producer controls the whole supply of a single commodity which has no close substitutes. Monopoly may be defined as a condition of production in which a person or number of persons act in combination have the power to fix the price of the commodity or the output of the commodity. It is a situation where there exists a single control over the market producing a commodity having no substitutes and no possibilities for anyone to enter the industry to compete. Page 162. Lerner defines monopoly as any seller who is confronted with a falling demand curve for his product. Chamberlain, among prominent writers, follows the traditional concept of monopoly, namely the control over supply. Features of monopoly: 1. Antithesis of competition. Absence of competition in the market creates a situation of monopoly and hence the seller faces no threat of competition. 2. Existence of a single seller. There will be only one seller in the market who exercises single control over the market. 3. Absence of substitutes. There are no close substitutes for his product with a strong cross of elasticity of demand. Hence, buyers have no alternatives. 4. Control over supply. He will have complete control over output and supply of the commodity. 5. Price maker. The monopolist is the price maker and in taking decision on price fixation, He is independent. He can set the price to the best of his advantage. Hence, he can either charge a high price for all customers or adopt price discrimination policy. 6. Entry barriers. Entry of other firms is barred somehow. Hence, monopolies will not have direct competitors or direct rivals in the market. 7. Firm and industry is same. There will be no difference between firm and an industry. 8. Nature of firm. The monopoly firm may be a proprietary concern, partnership concern, joint stock company, or a public utility which pursues an independent price output policy. 9. Existence of supernormal profits. There will be place for supernormal profits under monopoly because market price is greater than the cost of production. 5.14. Price and output determination under monopoly. Short period is a time period in which there are two types of factors of production. One is a fixed factor and the other is a variable factors. In the short period, production can be changed only by changing the variable factors of production. Fixed factors of production cannot be changed. The aim of a monopolist is also to earn maximum profits. In order to earn maximum profits or suffer minimum losses, a monopolist compares his marginal revenue MR and the marginal cost MC. Page 163. If marginal revenue exceeds the marginal cost of a product, the monopolist can increase his profit by increasing its production. On the contrary, if MC exceeds MR at a particular level of output, the monopolist can minimize his losses by reducing its production. So, the monopolist is said to be in equilibrium when his MC curve cuts the MR curve. In other words, the correct point of price output determination for a monopolist is that where marginal revenue is equal to marginal cost. However, monopolists can influence either price or output. The following diagram shows short period price and output determination with profits. In the diagram, SMC are the short run average cost and marginal cost curves. The monopolist is in equilibrium at E, output OQ, the marginal revenue is equal to the short run marginal cost curve. Price set by him is QC or QD, while the cost incurred is QB, depicted by SAC. He is making profits equal to ABCD, the shaded portion. However, it is possible that a monopolist can undergo losses. In the short run, he will continue working as long as price is above the average variable cost. If the price falls below average variable cost, the monopolist would shut down E in the short run. Short run equilibrium with losses is shown in the diagram in the next page. Page 164. Here is a diagram wherein the x-axis represents the output and the y-axis represents the cost revenue. The monopolist is in equilibrium at OQ level of output with price OA or QB. Since price or average revenue is less than average cost, he is undergoing losses which are equal to the area of rectangle ABCD, the shaded portion. Since price QC is higher than the average variable cost, the monopolist would continue working in the short run. But if the losses persist in the long run, he would leave the industry and search for profits elsewhere. 5.15. Price discrimination under monopoly. A second type of monopoly existing in the market among non-competing groups is discriminating monopoly, also known as price discrimination. Generally speaking, the monopolist will not charge uniform price for all the customers in the market. He will follow different methods under different circumstances. The policy of price discrimination refers to the practice of a seller to charge different prices for different customers for the same commodity produced under single control without corresponding differences in cost. When a monopoly firm adopts this policy, it will become a discriminatory monopoly. According to Professor Benham, monopolist may be able, however, to divide his sales among a number of different markets and to charge a different price in each market. Page 165. According to Professor Joel Dean, price discrimination is said to exist when differences in price charged by seller do not exactly match differences in costs. prerequisite conditions for the price discrimination when price discrimination is possible. 1. Existence of imperfect market. Under monopoly, there will be place for price discrimination when there are buyers with incomplete knowledge and information about the market. 2. Existence of different degrees of elasticity of demand in different markets. A monopolist will succeed in charging higher price in inelastic market and lower price in elastic market. 3. Existence of different markets for same commodity. This will facilitate price discrimination because buyers in one market will not know the price charged for the same commodity in other markets. 4. No contact among buyers. If there is possibility of contact and communication among buyers, they will come to know that discriminatory practices are followed by buyers. 5. No possibility of resale. Monopoly product purchased by consumers in the low-priced market should not be resold in the high-priced market. Prevention of exchange of goods is a favorable condition for price discrimination. 6. Legal sanction. In some cases, price discrimination is legally allowed. Examples: charges on trunk calls, book post, recorded delivery, registered post, insured parcel, courier parcel are different. 7. Buyer's illusion. When consumers have an irrational attitude that high-priced goods are of high quality, a monopolist can resort to price discrimination. 8. Ignorance and lethargy. Due to laziness and lethargy, consumers may not compare the price of the same product in different shops. 9. Preferences and prejudices of buyers. The monopolist may charge different prices for different varieties or brands of the same product to different buyers. 10. Non-transferability features. In case of direct personal services like private tuitions, haircuts, beauty and medical treatments, a seller can conveniently charge different prices. 11. Purpose of service. The electricity department charges different rates per unit of electricity for different purposes: lighting, AEH, agriculture, industrial operations, etc. Page 166. Price output equilibrium in discriminating monopoly. The discriminating monopolist, like every other producer, aims at maximizing profits. In discriminating monopoly, different prices are charged for a commodity. The monopolist undertakes price discrimination by dividing his total market into several sub-markets and charge discriminating prices to make maximum profits. Assume the monopolist has divided his total market into sub-markets A and B on the basis of elasticity demand for the producer in these two markets. Elasticity of demand is greater in market B than in market A. Below is a diagram in which AR1 is the average revenue curve and MR1 is a marginal revenue curve for market. Similarly, AR2 and MR2 are the average revenue and marginal curves in market B. Taking the two submarkets separately, the monopolist will sell outputs OM1 in market A. The price charged is M1E1 for output OM1. In market B, the output is OM2. The price charged for the output OM2 in the market B is M2P2, which is lower than the price charged in market A. Hence, in market B, with higher elasticity of demand, price is lower, and market A, where the elasticity of demand is lower, the price charged is higher. CMR is the combined marginal revenue curve, which is obtained by totaling MR1 and MR2. The marginal cost curve of the total output is MC. Page 167. The discriminating monopolist will choose that level of output giving him the maximum profits. It is also the point of equilibrium position, as at this point MR is equal to MC and the marginal cost curve cuts the marginal revenue curve from below. In the diagram, the point of equilibrium is E at the output OM, where MC cuts CMR from below. Therefore, the following conditions are necessary for the equilibrium in discriminating monopoly. 1. Total marginal cost is equal to combined marginal revenue. 2. Marginal revenue in a market A is equal to marginal revenue in the market and B is equal to marginal cost. The above description clearly shows that a monopolist has discriminated the two markets and charge different prices in these two markets. 5.16 Meaning and features of monopolistic competition. It is a common factor to observe that both perfect competitions and monopoly are the two extreme forms of market situation rarely to be found in the real world. Generally, markets are imperfect today. A number of attempts have been made by different economists like Pareto, Schrafer, Hotling, Zeithan and others in the early 1920s and 1930s to explain the behavior of imperfect competition. During 1933, two notable contributions have revolutionized the theory of important competition. Mrs. John Robinson of UK published a book, The Economy of Imperfect Competition, and Professor Chamberlain of USA published his book entitled The Theory of Monopolistic Competition. Monopolistic competition refers to a market form in which there are many producers producing goods which are close substitutes for each other or where output is differentiated. As Chamberlain pointed out, it is a blend of competition and monopoly. Therefore, both competitive and monopoly elements exist side by side in such a market. Retail stores in large cities are generally monopolistically competitive in nature, like medical stores, dry cleaners, etc. A. L. Mayes defined monopolistic competition as a situation where there may be many sellers but with differentiated products so that the competition is no longer on price basis. In the words of Stoney and Haig, there is competition which is keen, though not perfect, between many firms making similar products. Page 168. Features of monopolistic competition. 1. Existence of a large number of firms. Under monopolistic competition, the number of firms producing a product will be large. 2. Market is characterized by imperfections. It may rise due to advertisements, differences in transport cost, irrational preferences of consumers, ignorance about the availability of different brands of products and prices of products, etc. 3. Free entry and exit of firms. Differentiation provides ample opportunity for a firm to enter or exit the industry. 4. Element of monopoly and competition. Every firm enjoys some sort of monopoly power, but it is neither absolute nor complete because each product faces competition from rival sellers selling different brands of the product. 5. Similar products but not identical. Under monopolistic competition, the firm produces commodities which are similar to one another but not identical or homogeneous. 6. Non-price competition. In this market, there will be competition among many monopolists for the products and not for the price of the product. 7. Definite preference of the consumers. Consumers will have definite preference for a particular variety of brands' loyalty owing to the special features of a product by a particular firm. 8. Product differentiation. The most outstanding feature of monopolistic competition is product differentiation. Firms adopt different techniques to differentiate the products from one another. 9. Selling cost. Selling costs are the unique feature of monopolistic competition. Selling costs are those costs incurred by the sellers to improve the sales. As product differentiation is the hallmark of this market, sellers incur expenses on advertisement to promote sales. 5.17 Price output determination under monopolistic competition. The shape of the demand curve facing a firm under monopolistic competition may be explained. Under monopolistic competition, the commodity bought and sold is a differentiated product. The buyers are willing to pay for their favorite product more than the market price for the standardized product. Consumers are attached to a particular brand. Page 169. Hence, the seller has monopolistic control over his market. If he raises his price, he may lose some consumers. Similarly, a reduction in price may push up the demand for his product. Thus, the demand curve facing the firm is downward sloping. If he wants to sell more, he must lower the price. He cannot influence the market price. The seller may have a small amount of monopolistic control over his brand because of consumers' attachment to that brand. However, since he knows that there are close substitutes for his commodity, he will not increase his price too much as consumers may shift to other brands. The demand curve or average revenue curve under monopolistic competition is fairly elastic because of the presence of close substitutes. Price output determination in the short run equilibrium. In the short run, the monopolistically competitive firm may either realize excess profit or suffer losses. The firm will be in equilibrium when it is maximizing its profits, that is, where the marginal revenue is equal to the marginal cost. The following diagram shows equilibrium in the short run with supernormal profits. In the diagram, AR is the average revenue curve and MR is the marginal revenue curve. SAC is the short run average cost curve, AR is the average revenue curve, and MR is the marginal revenue curve. SAC is the short run average cost curve. Marginal revenue curve MR and marginal cost curve SMC intersect each other at E, and the output is OM, at which price OP is equal to MP1 is a point on AR average revenue, that is price. The firm is earning supernormal output is the difference between average revenue and average cost at the equilibrium point. In this case, in equilibrium, the average revenue is MP1 and the average cost is MT. T is on SAC in brackets. Page 170. Therefore, PIT is the supernormal profit per unit of output. Total supernormal profit will be measured by the area of the rectangle PTIT. P1, that is output multiplied by the supernormal profit per unit of output. The shaded area in the diagram represents supernormal profits. Price output determination in the long run equilibrium. In the long period, the price output policy of an individual firm is determined by some general principle of equality of MR and MC in the short period. In the long run, however, it is possible both for the individual firm as well as the group to be in stable equilibrium. In other words, it is possible to achieve full equilibrium in the long period. In the long period of time, no firm can make supernormal profit as it will be competed a way when new firms enter the industry. In the same way, no firm will be ready to face losses. In the long run, if firm faces losses, it will leave the industry and the remaining firms will be earning only normal profit. Further, the average revenue curve in the long run will be more elastic since a large number of substitutes are available for the commodity. Firms in the long run will earn only normal profits. The equilibrium point is where the average revenue equals average cost. Long run equilibrium under monopolistic competition is represented in the diagram below. In the diagram, average revenue curve AR is a tangent to the average cost curve LAC at the point B. At the point P, equilibrium output in the long run is OM and the corresponding price is MP in brackets OP1. At this point, average cost is also MP, and so is the average revenue. Page 171. Therefore, there are no supernormal profits. There are only the normal profits which form part of the cost of production. The two conditions necessary for attaining equilibrium are MR must be equal to MC and AR must be equal to AC. At T, these conditions are satisfied and the firm is in equilibrium. This in the long run, the firm is in equilibrium at the point E, with the output OM and price MP. 5.18 Meaning and features of oligopoly. The term oligopoly is derived from two Greek words. Oligo means a few and poly means to sell. Oligopoly is that form of imperfect competition where there are a few firms in the market producing either homogeneous product or goods which are close substitutes for each other. Important examples of oligopoly markets are the steel, aluminium, tire industries, in which price and outputs are determined by a few firms. Stone defines it as oligopolies are industries dominated by few firms whose decisions are inextricable and constantly linked. Features of oligopoly. 1. Interdependence. Each and every firm has to be conscious of the reactions of its rivals. Since the number of firms are very few, any change in price, output, product, etc., by one firm will have direct effect on the policy of the other firm. 2. interdeterminateness of the demand curve. Under oligopoly, there will be the element of uncertainty. Firms will not be knowing the particular factors which could affect demand. Thus, the demand curve for the product curve for the will be interdeterminate or indefinite. 3. Conflicting attitude. Under oligopoly, on the one side, firm may realize the disadvantage of the competition. On the other hand, firms guided by individualistic clash and conflict with another. 4. Element of monopoly and competition. A firm has same monopoly power over the product. Monopoly power enjoyed by the firm will be limited by the extent of competition. 5. Aggressive or defensive marketing methods. Firms resort to this method in order to either to increase the share of market or to prevent decline of the share in the market. If one adopts extensive advertisement and sales promotion policy, it provokes others to do the same. Page 172. 6. Constant struggle. Competition is of unique type in an oligopolistic market. Hence, competition consists of constant struggle of rivals against rivals. 7. Small number of large firms. The number of firms in the market is small, but the size of each firm is big. 8. Price rigidity. General prices tend to be sticky. If one firm changes its price, other firms may also resort to the same techniques. The price rigidity is the essence of Paul Sweezy's The Kinked Demand Curve model of oligopoly. This model is presented below. The Kinked Demand Curve model. The idea that administered prices are flexible upward and not downward is supported by theoretical analysis of situation faced by the oligopolistic firm. Such an analysis has been made by Paul Sweezy in 1939. He explained the price rigidities often observed in oligopolistic market. Sweezy assumed that if the oligopolistic firm lowers its price, its rivals will react by matching that price cut in order to avoid losing their customers. Thus, the firm lowering the prices will not be able to increase its demand much. This portion of its demand curve is relatively inelastic. On the other hand, if the oligopolistic firm increases its price, its rivals will not follow it and change the prices. Thus, the quantity demanded of this firm will fall considerably. This portion of the demand curve is relatively elastic. In these two situations, the demand curve of the oligopolistic firm has a KINK at the prevailing market price, which explains the price rigidity. Below is a diagram where the x-axis illustrates output and the y-axis is the price. Page 173. In the previous page diagram, DD is the demand curve. MR is the marginal revenue curve. There is discontinuity in the marginal revenue curve AK, just below the point corresponding to the kink. MC is the marginal cost curve. The equilibrium of the curve is at the point where marginal cost is equal to marginal revenue. On the account of discontinuity in the marginal revenue curve, shifts in the marginal cost curve between the points A and K will not alter equilibrium position as regards outputs and prices. This explains why, in spite of variations in cost and demand, the price under oligopoly remains unchanged. The kinky KINKY demand curve explains RIGID prices under oligopoly. Oligopoly has all the drawbacks of a monopoly in addition to rigidity and wasteful competition. 5.19. Price and output determination under oligopoly. As in other market situations in oligopoly too, industry will be in equilibrium at the point where marginal revenue equals marginal cost. Industry is supposed to stop production at the point where marginal cost and marginal revenue are equal in order to avoid losses. Industry will be in a position of earning profits as long as marginal revenue is more than the marginal cost. It will experience losses when marginal cost exceeds marginal revenue. Equilibrium level of price and output takes place where marginal revenue and marginal cost are equal. In oligopoly, three methods of price discrimination are in existence. They are A. Independent pricing, B. Price determination under price leadership, and C. collusive pricing. A. Independent pricing. In independent pricing and output determination and oligopoly, two types of situations arise. They are 1. Production of homogeneous products and 2. Production of heterogeneous products. 1. In production of homogeneous products, competition among firms will be of severe form. They produce homogeneous products and are involved in selling them with rapid competition. Every firm assumes the disposable reactions of its rival firms and determines its own price. Price and output of determination under such a situation can be explained with the help of the following diagram, which is on the next page. Page 174. As shown in the above diagram, as a result of price war among the firms, prices settle at OP level. Firm is producing and selling OM quantity of products at OP price. Through this, the firm will be able to earn only nominal profits. It will lose the customers if it rises the price of the commodities instantaneously. OM is the ideal quantity of output. This happens to be the volume of output produced at the lowest cost. This is so because average cost was more even before average cost curve intersected the average revenue curve at point E, and it happens to be more even after that point. 2. Production of heterogeneous products. Competition among firms will not be severe when they are producing heterogeneous products. Price and output determination under such a situation is explained with the help of the following diagram. As shown in the above diagram, price is set at OP. At this price, OM quantity of goods are being produced and sold. Even though the firm is earning normal profits at OP, price OM is not the ideal output. Here, equilibrium of the industry is in the same way as it is in monopolistic competition. Page 175. B. Price determination under price leadership. Under oligopoly, an important form of price fixation is price leadership. In this market situation, the price is determined by one firm in the industry and then accepted by all the other firms in that industry. Price leadership takes two different types, which are 1. Dominant form type and 2. Bodometric type. In the dominant form, the firm which produces the major portion of the output of the industry sets a price which is accepted by the smaller firms. The small firms accept this price and adjust the production accordingly. The barometric type is one in which the price leader does not dominate the industry but fixes the price that is acceptable to all other firms in the industry. In other words, it serves as the barometer of the market. Price and output determination under price leadership is explained with the help of the following diagram. It is clear from the above diagram that there are two firms called A and B. Both the curve AR in brackets D and MR are demand curve, and the marginal revenue curve of the firm MCA is a marginal cost curve of the firm A, attains equilibrium at point E by producing OM quantity of output and selling it at MB price. MCB is the marginal cost curve of firm B. It is in equilibrium at point F by producing ON volume of output and selling it at NA price. As the diagram clearly shows, the price of firm B is more than that of firm A, in brackets NA MB. Thus, when both the firms A and B are producing homogeneous product, firm B will have to face a difficult time in selling its products. Page 176. MCA, which is the marginal cost of firm A, lies below MCB, the marginal cost curve of firm B. This indicates that cost of production in firm A is less than that in the firm B. Let us suppose that firm A has assumed the role of price leader. Now firm B also should sell its products at MB, that is the price fixed by firm A. As a result, the volume of output of firm B expands from ON to OM. This is because as MB level of price is less than NA level of price, firm B also gets opportunity to sell products as is done by firm A. C. Collusive pricing. The term collusion means to play together in economics. It means that the firms cooperate with each other in taking joint actions to keep the bargaining position stronger against the consumer. Collusion on oral agreements is called as gentleman's agreement. If it is written agreement, it is known as cartels. In oligopoly, business firms can form a central agency and through it can determine the price and output. This will be in the form of an industrial combination. The firm accepts the price and the output determined by the central agency. Determination of collusive price and output is illustrated with the help of the following diagram. Above figure shows determination of collusive price and output. The central agency determines the total demand of the industry. Example of two firms may be seen in the diagram. MC1 is a marginal cost curve of the first firm A. MC2 is a marginal cost curve of the firm B. MCT is the total marginal cost of the industry curve. AR and MR are average revenue curve and the marginal revenue curve of the industry respectively. Page 177. The second firm is producing more quantity at a lesser price. This is because at OS cost of production, the first firm is producing OM1 quantity of output. At the same cost of production, the second firm produces OM2 quantity of output. Total marginal cost curve MCT intersects marginal revenue curve at point E. Therefore, OM3 is the equilibrium output of the industry. This total output is sold at OP price. Even though a firm is producing less quantity and the other is producing more quantity, both the firms are producing at the same price. Thus, the central agency helps all the firms to increase profits in the industry. 5.20 keywords. 1. Explicit and implicit cost. 2. Average and marginal cost. 3. Selling cost. 4. Price discrimination. 5. Short run and long run. 6. Perfect competition. 7. Reserve price. 8. Kinked demand curve. 9. Price leadership. 10. Price rigidity. 11. Collusive price. 12. Productive selling method. 13. Non-price competition. And 14. Opportunity cost. 5.21. Important points to be remembered. 1. Cost of production. It refers to total money expenses incurred to produce a particular quantity of output by the producer. 2. Money cost. When the cost is expressed in terms of money, it is called money cost. 3. Real cost. When cost is expressed in terms of physical or mental efforts put in by a person in making of a commodity, it is called the real cost. 4. Fixed cost. Fixed costs are those costs which do not vary with either expansion or contraction in output. 5. Opportunity cost. Opportunity cost of anything is the cost of sacrificed alternatives. 6. Total cost. Total cost refers to the aggregate money expenditure incurred by a firm to produce a given quantity of output. 7. Average cost. Average cost is a unit cost. It is a cost per unit of output produced. 8. Marginal cost. Marginal cost may be defined as a net addition to the total cost as one more unit of output is produced. 9. Total revenue. Total revenue refers to the total amount of money that the firm receives from the sale of its products. Page 178. 10. Marginal revenue. It refers to the additional revenue earned by selling an additional unit of output by the seller. 11. Perfect competition. A perfectly competitive market is one in which the number of buyers and sellers are very large, all engaged in buying and selling a homogeneous product without an artificial restriction and possessing perfect knowledge of market at a time. 12. Collusive price. It means that the firms cooperate with each other in taking joint actions to keep the bargaining position stronger against the consumer. 13. Four periods defined by Professor Marshall. Very short period, OR market period, short period, long period, and very long period. 14. Features of monopoly. 1. Antithesis of competition. 2. Existence of single seller. 3. Absence of substitutes. 4. Control over supply. 5. Price maker. 6. Entry barriers. 7. Firm and industry is same. 8. Nature of firm. And 9. Existence of supernormal profits. 15. long run average cost curve. It is the per unit cost of production of different levels of output by changing the size of the plant or scale of production. 16. Price leadership. The firm which is enjoying the benefits of large scale production will dominate the small firms. The price fixed by the dominating firm will be followed by all other small firms. This is called price leadership. 16. Reserve price. For durable goods, the seller will fix a price below which he does not sell if the prices fall. This price is known as reserve price. 5.22 Suggested readings. 1. Microeconomic theory by M. L. Jingan. 2. Macroeconomics by Dr. D. M. Mithani and Dr. R. G. Desai. 3. Analysis of economic systems and macroeconomic theory by H. L. Ahuja. 4. Macroeconomics by Professor M. M. Gupta. 5. Economic theory by N. Iravati and C. Ramani Nair. 6. Semester economics by Aparnaya Reddy Shanti. 7. Analytical macroeconomics by Sampath Mukherjee. 8. Principles of economics by V. Loknathan. 9. Market behavior and cost analysis by Dr. D. M. Mithani. 10. Basic macroeconomics by Dr. D. M. Mithani. 11. Principles of economics by K. D. Baswa. 12. Macroeconomic theory by Dr. H. R. Krishnagoda. Page 179. 5.23. Check your progress. Part A. 2-mark questions answered in 5 to 6 sentences. 1. Define cost production. 2. What is money cost? 3. What is an opportunity cost? 4. Distinguish between fixed and variable costs. 5. How do you measure average cost? 6. What is marginal cost? 7. Distinguish between normal price and market price. 8. What is price discrimination? 9. Mention 4 features of perfect competition. 10. What is imperfect competition? 11. Define monopolistic competition. 12. What is selling cost? 13. Define market period. 14. What is monopoly? 15. Mention 4 features of monopoly. And 16. Define market price. Part B. 5 marks questions answered in 15 to 20 sentences. 1. What is perfect competition and what are its features? 2. How does Marshall classify time element? 3. Write a note on importance of time element in price determination. 4. Write the difference between market price and normal price. 5. What is monopoly and what are its features? 6. What is price discrimination? Write a note on it. 7. What is monopolistic competition and what are its features? 8. What is oligopoly and what are its features? Page 180. Part C. 15 marks question. Answer in 30 to 40 sentences. 1. Discuss the methods of price output determination under oligopoly. 2. Explain the role of time element in price discrimination. 3. Explain the features of perfect competition and discuss the price output determination. 4. Explain the price output determination under perfect competition. 5. What is monopoly? Explain price determination. 6. What is price discrimination? Explain methods of price and output determination. 7. Discuss the method of price output determination under monopolistic competition.